You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
There is a word from the Lord this morning. That word comes from Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark, the 10th chapter. And I'll just lift up one verse. That's verse 31. Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 31. All right. That beep is to let you know how much time you have left. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Make sure. No, we don't time you to find the scriptures. No. Mark the 10th chapter, verse 31. Text says this from the New Revised Standard Version. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Pray with me and pray for me. Sovereign God, I come to you right now, always saying thank you. God, I seek your power. I seek your wisdom. I seek your help. It's preaching time, and so God, I realize that I can't do this by myself. And so I need you, God, to guide my tongue and guide my mind and guide my heart so that all that I think or say and even feel will be pleasing to your holy name. God, my hope and my prayer is that you hide me behind the cross so that your people, your children, your creation can be focused on your word. God, have thine own way and deal with the mess in my mortal flesh so it does not stand in the way of the miraculous possibilities that you will have from your word. God, have thine own way right now, in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the house. Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 31, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. As I was meditating on this pericope or particular text, God just simply want me to tag this text. Sermon title is simply this: my time is coming. My time is coming. Look, I need you to turn to your neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, my time is coming. I need you to find another neighbor. Look, don't get too cute. Find somebody you haven't seen before, because the first person you turned to was the person you walked in here with. But I need you to find a new neighbor, and I need you to find a new neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, my time is coming. Now, come on, my family. You know how we do in Spirit of Unity. Now, there's some folk in here that got beef with one another. Yeah, I know about that beef. But in Spirit of Unity, we're going to take that beef, cook it, grill it, and eat it, because we're going to do away with it. I need you to find somebody you think or thought you were angry with, whether that was last week or 5 years or 10 years. I need you to find that person you got beef with and say, neighbor, my time is coming. And so is yours, too. Yeah. My time is coming. And usually I have a sermon title that is more inclusive and would say our time is coming. But I find it appropriate that we personalize it for ourselves. My time is come. And then it came down to the last play where I was like, just give me the ball. I can do this. I can do this. And so it came down to the last play. They hiked the ball and finally they tossed the ball to me. And did you not know that I took off like I stole something? I didn't steal a thing, but I took off. And something else happened that even though I didn't have Nike shoes on, I was juking everybody out of their shoes. And something else happened that when folk tried to touch me, and then I took off down the field and scored a touchdown. And I just got to tell somebody today that there are people that are going to overlook you because of how you look and your outside appearance, and they don't think that you can have the ability to do anything. But when you are put to the test, God will give you the ability to become the first when everybody else wants you to be last. I wish I was talking to somebody in here today. Anybody that's ever been in last place, anybody that's ever been left behind, anyone that has ever been forgotten, anyone that has ever been taken for granted. When man takes you for granted, God won't take you for granted. I wish you would talk to me in here. For every person that's been left behind, for every person that felt like they've been alone and by themselves, when you thought you were last, God said, nah, baby, you in first. I'm gonna make sure I make a way for you. Yeah. And so as we enter this text today, in reality, this text has everything to do with the rich man and the kingdom of God. And different variations, different preachers, different teachers, different instructors, different professors. Some would say this was a grown man. Others would say this was a young rich man. But the point is not really the age. The point is that we're dealing with someone who is rich. How many of you have ever been rich before? We getting there. How many of us have ever been physically rich, carnally rich, possess millions of dollars? I mean, spend tens and thousands of dollars like it's just $5 or $10. None of us? Okay. So in all reality, in this world, in this system that is built, we all are last. And we know how that feels. I know how it feels. I remember being a young married couple, living paycheck from paycheck. A young married couple just trying to strike out on life, not having much at all, barely enough to pay the bills, struggling. How many of you have ever struggled before? Yeah. All right, look like we about to have church now. Yeah, every day wasn't a sloppy Joe meal or a steak dinner or a surf and turf meal. Sometimes you had to be satisfied with oodles and noodles, cheese and crackers. I'm going to come down some of your lanes. Potted meat and Vienna sausages. And you know how you do. You pour that water out and you try to get creative with them Vienna sausages. Put them in some barbecue sauce and let it boil a little bit. Think like you're eating barbecue meatballs. Yeah. When the dinner was looking light, children looking hungry, you sacrifice your portions just so that your kids can have a little bit more. How many of you have struggled like that? Go to work every day, trying to earn a paycheck. And then when you get your paycheck, you see that Medicare have taken their share. Federal has taken their share. The state has taken their share because they told you that you needed health care. They've taken their share. And then all you have left is just a little bit to make it throughout the next week. How many of you have ever struggled like that before? Many of us want to take a trip to the beach in those times of struggling, or take a nice family vacation. And some have been forced to take out loans just to have a nice vacation. And the problem is that you taking out a loan to go on a nice vacation, and then you're just not paying for the hotel, and you're just not paying for the amenities, and you're just not paying for the food or the places that you want to visit. You're just not paying for the gas, but you're also paying the interest that comes along with the loan. And so now you got to split up those payments just to pay your vacation back and do it before Christmas time comes around, so that you can have enough money saved up to at least make sure that your family have a decent Christmas. How many of you have ever struggled like that? And it gets to Christmas time and you don't have enough. And then you have to apologize to your kids and say, sorry, I could not get you your new Xbox, PlayStation, or Nintendo. Sorry, I could not get the brand new Jordans. Parents have cried themselves to sleep because they felt like they were failing as parents. Always feeling like I'm in last place when it seems like others are so far ahead. And even though this is not Christmas time, I just want to put a plug in something right now, that Christmas ain't about the gifts under the tree. It was about the gift of God by way of Jesus Christ, who not only died for us, but rose up from the grave claiming all power in his hands. So don't you ever encounter a Christmas thinking you don't have a real gift, because God has a gift that keeps on giving every day of your life. And although we're not rich in the world, rich carnally, although we don't have hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars, we are rich in the Spirit. We are rich in the Spirit. We are rich in God's word. We are rich because we have the Spirit of God. We are rich because we have God on our side, that when we gave up our lives to Jesus Christ, that Jesus did not give us a massive 401k. Jesus did not give us $10,000 to start our retirement. Jesus did not give us a hefty paycheck or worked it out for somebody to win that $600 million. I don't know. But what I do know is this, is that Jesus gives us something that's more valuable than money, more valuable than cars, more valuable than your house, more valuable than any possession that you have. And that's eternal life. That's eternal life. Text says, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The first in this text are the rich, and the last in this text are those who are poor and disenfranchised and living on the margins of society. And we find that we know this to be true because this text, it starts out with a rich man who approaches Jesus, who seeks out Jesus, and he doesn't seek out Jesus for ill intent or mal intent. No, he's seeking out a teacher, one who is well equipped in the word, and to go to the teacher and to verify if he has been good, or if he has followed the commandments, if he has done everything that he needed to do to receive the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells this man that you gotta know the commandments. You know, and this was some of the commandments. You shall not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. And then, of course, it says honor. Yeah, some of y'all, not too many kids said. Or adults. Come on now. Honor your father and mother. And then the man comes back and said, teacher, I have kept all these commandments since my youth. Y'all know how we do when people tell us what something that we got to do. You're like, I got it. I did it. I'm good. But Jesus reminds this man that there is something that you still lack. I just want to put a pause right here for a moment and remind each and every one of us that when you think you got it all, there's still something else that you can do to improve and do better in your life. Don't be satisfied in just arriving at a certain point, but keep pushing and keep propelling towards greater, because I believe God has greater things for us. But there is identification of more self-growth for this rich man, because the fact of the matter is that this rich man is still rich. This rich man is not only rich, but this rich man has benefited from a system that kept him rich. This rich man has benefited from a system that has kept him rich. And unfortunately, it might be a system that continues to oppress the poor. Yeah, many of us will never be rich. And many of us will continue to strive to try to reach that threshold. But there is a reality of systems that are built where it's designed to keep us poor. Uh-oh. And Jesus tells us, even in times like these, when it feels like you're trying to do your best, and I'm not trying to take away your hope. Don't walk out here and be like, Pastor said I'm going to be poor for the rest of my life. I ain't say that. What I am saying is that there's systems that exist that will try to keep you poor. But as they try to keep you physically poor, they will never keep you spiritually poor. That Jesus will ensure that we will be spiritually rich through God's love and God's kindness and eternal life that is offered for each and every one of us. This man was lacking one thing, and the thing that he was lacking was that he was holding on to stuff that was still oppressing other people. He was still holding on to earthly possessions and still holding on to things that he needed, his money, his possessions, to rely on. And what we find in this text today is that if we're going to be last, then we are the people that don't rely on money or possessions, but we are people that are going to rely on Jesus. I wish I had somebody in here today. Yeah. Your money might get you through a moment, and your possessions might make you happy for a little bit, but Jesus will be there for all eternity. Jesus will never leave nor forsake you. Yeah, being at last is not so bad at all. Being at last is not hurtful at all. But being at last says that I got somebody who is going to be greater than any of my earthly possessions. And what Jesus informs this man is that if you are going to truly receive the kingdom of God, then you ought to be the one who is last instead of trying to be the one who is first, trying to hold on to stuff that will not save your eternal soul. And sometimes we got to take a moment to take a step back and evaluate the stuff that we are holding on to. Somebody in here holding on to drugs, somebody in here holding on to alcohol, somebody holding on to that good for nothing boy, somebody holding on to that good for nothing girl, somebody holding on to a possession that they think makes them happy, somebody holding on to some worries, somebody holding on to depression. Oh, you act like you don't got no real problems. God, maybe I'm talking to myself. Maybe I'm holding on to depression. Maybe I got caught up in all possessions. Maybe I got caught up in this and that, but I stopped by to report somebody today that for all the things that I thought I needed to hold on to, I was reminded even by the song that the men's choir sung, that I'm going to hold on to Jesus' hand. And I'm going to hold on to Jesus, because Jesus will lead me and Jesus will guide me and Jesus will help me. I wish you would make some noise up in here today, because it is Jesus who will give you what you need and not necessarily what you want. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to tell you how this rich man reacted, because there was a reaction in this text. When the rich man heard what Jesus told him, he got sad. In fact, the translation would say he was even offended. Jesus, I've been following at least 6 of the commandments. Oh, y'all don't want to laugh. Y'all don't want to laugh. Y'all know how we do sometimes. Well, you know, God, I went to church 2 times out the month. Y'all know how we do. There's 10 commandments, but I followed 6 out of 10 since I was a little boy. Did you even check the text? He didn't even say, Jesus, I followed all 10. He said, I followed those 6 since my youth. I'm going to give this one to you for free. Why is it that we do the bare minimum for God? Oh, I'm going to say it again. Why is it that we do the bare minimum for God, but we maximize for ourselves and other people? It's okay, because the Spirit of God told me I wasn't going to get a whole lot of claps. Why? Because now I went down your neighborhood. This thing preached to me and this thing gut punched me real quick. Jesus tells us that if we're going to be last, isn't it something that when, think about it, in the moments in your poverty, you always worked harder. Not because you were poor, but because you had something to work for. It was something that you had goals and dreams, and you weren't going to let nothing get in the way of you accomplishing your goals and your dreams. It seems like when you didn't have a lot, you worked harder and you gave it your best. But when you're first and when you're rich and when you think you have it all, you don't think that you need to do a lot. This rich man clearly did the bare minimum. And the text says that Jesus had so much love for. I want you to realize that when Jesus informed them that he lacked something, Jesus shared it from a place of love. I got to tell somebody that when you start correcting people, you correct people in love and not in ego. Oh, you don't want to shout right now. There's many people that don't want to come to church or be surrounded by people who go to church because they're always approached by ego instead of love. Jesus approached this man in love and not ego. Jesus wasn't like, well, let me tell you, you ain't right. No, Jesus said, there's something that you still lack if you're going to receive the kingdom of God. Jesus had so much love. Look, here's the thing. I remember when I was in school or if I got in trouble and somebody, have you ever had somebody just call you out on your stuff? Now, in the streets, that would be called, you know, people call you out on your BS. Is that all right? I ain't say the real word. Y'all need to laugh. Come on now. Have you ever been called out on your stuff? Have you ever been called out on your phoniness? Have you ever been called out on your wrongness when you know you're wrong, but you're trying to act like you're right? We call people that call us out real folk, because those real folk that really love us won't allow us to walk around looking foolish. People that really love you won't let you walk around like you're right all the time. Won't let you walk around in your wrongness. And they'd be like, hey, sis, come here real quick. Hey, brother, let me talk to you, man. And they will approach you in love and not in hate and disgust. What am I trying to say? Jesus had enough sense to approach this man in love and let this man know that even though you're rich, I don't want you to walk around foolish thinking that you received something that clearly you did not. But I have an answer for you. Isn't that wonderful? People that really love you just won't ridicule you, but they'll have an answer for you as well that will help you to get to your destination instead of just leave you hanging. How many of you have been left hanging by people that just wanted to call you out and embarrass you? But aren't you glad that you serve a God that will not call you out just to embarrass you? But when God calls you out, God calls you out to correct you. God calls you out because God loves you. God calls you out because God wants to set you on a better path. Oh, you don't want to be set on a better path. I remember when I was lost in sin and God sent somebody my way to call me out. And when I was called out, it was called out in love. And because I was called out in love, I started running to Jesus because Jesus helped me get through the worst seasons of my life. Is there anybody in here today that has ever been last like that, where you felt like all hope was lost, but Jesus made a way to save your life? And so we find that this rich man walks away and he's sad. Sometimes when we are encountered with the truth of God, everybody is not going to receive that truth. There are going to be some people who get upset, offended, angry, and walk away, even if you say it in love. And the reason why he walks away offended, because he was told he had to give up his riches. So I'm going to ask you, what are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? Pastor, I'm not rich like that. Nah, I ain't talking about riches. What are you willing to give up? What lifestyles are you willing to give up? What pleasures are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? Let me put it like this. Jesus gave up Jesus' own life for wretched sinners like us. So what are we willing to give up in order to follow Jesus? What are we willing to give up to grow God's church here on earth? What are we willing to give up to continue to spread the gospel? What are we willing to give up to help the least of these? Because we ought to know how it feels to be the least of these. And we ought to know how it feels to receive the help from Jesus. This text ends by Jesus telling his disciples, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Well, he was having a conversation with the disciples, and I'm just paraphrasing and speeding this part up a little bit because, Peter comes out his mouth and say, Jesus, we gave up everything to follow you. And the disciples, I would imagine, I'm using my sanctified imagination, they co-signed. How many of you have ever been co-signers before? Not on a loan. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. God bless you. You know how it is. We just co-sign on stuff. I'm the best. Yeah. He the best. That man tight. That's 90s talk. So I don't know what you, I don't, you with me? All right. I got one person in the house. And sometimes we just co-sign, and the disciples co-sign with Peter. But we also find out here that what the disciples were dialoguing about gave a sense that they had a sense of discipleship that was about position. Who's going to be greater in the kingdom of God? Can I let somebody know this? I mean, we know that God is greater in the kingdom of God. Hence, it's the kingdom of God. But also I'm reminded that we all will be great because we made it there. That was your shouting cue right now. There were some folk that didn't want you to make it anywhere, but you keep on living for Jesus and receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're going to be great in the kingdom of God because you simply just made it there. Come on now. You made it there when nobody else thought you could make it there. When everybody else thought you were going to be like your drunk father, your no good mother, you still lived the life that was pleasing to God. What am I trying to say? Don't let your circumstances or your past determine where you're going to end up in your future, because I believe that
God will lead you to where you need to go if you faithfully follow God. Yeah, Jesus says that many who are first will be last and the last will be first. That those who are rich, those who benefit from systems that hold other people down will eventually be last. But then the last will be first. Why? Because the last are rich in spirit, but not rich in wealth. The last are following Jesus in the midst of persecution and poverty. The last continue to be faithful to Jesus and faithful to God when all hell has broken loose in their life. The last continue to look to the hills from which cometh their help, because their help cometh from the Lord. The last continue to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus and tell them all about their troubles. The last know how to continue to seek the word and look for the word to help them in their everyday life. There's nothing wrong with being last. There's nothing wrong with being picked last, because in the kingdom of God, when you're last, you're going to end up being first. You won't always be last. Always. Trouble won't last always. I'm telling you today that you will come out on top, and your time is coming. We may not know when our time will come, but it's coming. And my hope is that when it comes, that you'll be ready to receive Jesus. When it comes, you'll be ready to live in heaven for all eternity. When it comes, you will walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. When it comes, you will sing your song. When it comes, you will praise God. When it comes, you will give your shout. When it comes, you will shout hallelujah. When it comes, you will give joy and have joy deep down in your soul. The first will be last, and the last will be first. My time is coming. And before I close this sermon, I'm reminded about a profound thing that an instructor said several weeks ago when I was in Florida. And she said that maybe those who are first need to follow those who are last. Those who are first maybe need to follow those who are last. Can I indulge you for a moment? Those that are first, If you are willing to follow those who are last, it can also be said, if you're talking about giving something up, that you're willing to give up your ego that much, that you will follow those who have a greater sight on Jesus than you do. But also, if I'm first and I have resources, I want to get behind those who are last and don't have the resources. Minister Freddie, come up real quick. I'm going to put it like this. I'm first, right? I'm not really rich, so let me come in after service, be like, hey, pastor, let me get a G. I'm like, nah, I don't got it like that. But I'm pretending that I'm first. And in our world today, if I'm first, if I'm rich, I expect you to follow me because I'm doing better than you in life. Come on and follow me. Because I'm first and I'm rich. And I'm better than him because I'm rich. And all I'm doing is just taking them around in limited spaces. Did y'all even pick that up? I'm just taking him around where I need him to go to benefit me. But if you're humble enough to reverse the role, he has a better view on Jesus. And if I'm humble enough to follow him, then maybe he can take me to the Lord. Maybe he can take, no, don't stop. You got to take me somewhere. I've been living my life thinking I need to go and lead the way. But just take me somewhere. And please don't take me to the same places we've been. Nah, keep going straight. No. Keep going straight. Because when you follow people that have a greater look on Jesus, They start taking you to regions you've never been before. They start taking you to spaces you never thought you can go to. They start helping you to see a different world that you have never been exposed to. They start taking you to neighborhoods that need help that you didn't think needed help. They start taking you to places and spaces that will open up your eyes and be like, my God, thank you for showing me things that I never seen before. And so when you follow people that are last, who will be first, they will lead you to Jesus in meaningful ways. And if there's anybody in here that's glad to be in last place, because it's your setup to start leading the way. Being last is your setup to lead somebody to Jesus in creative and powerful ways. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. You thought being last, you thought being last was a hindrance. But God wanted me to report to somebody today that your last is a setup for you to lead the way and lead somebody to have a better perspective in a better way, but most importantly, lead somebody to Jesus. Because now we can shout and say our living is truly not in vain. Even being last serves a purpose in the kingdom of God. Yeah.